Exodus 11, I want to talk a little bit about the character of Moses. Verse 3, the man Moses was very great in the land of Egypt, in the eyes of Pharaoh's servants and in the eyes of the people. So, he was very great in the eyes of men, but, Numbers 12, verse 3, the man Moses was very meek. So here, Exodus 11, 3, the man Moses was very great. Numbers 12, 3, the man Moses was very meek. So putting the two passages together, we get the clear lesson that he who humbles himself is made great. And in that, of course, Moses was really a pattern for all of us, as well as being a type of the Lord Jesus, who humbled himself that he might be exalted in due time. So Moses was indeed humble, we are told that, and that is the greatest accolade really that I think could be given, that a man was the most humble person on earth. Well, you could read the Hebrew there as meaning he was the one made most humble, as if he had been humbled, particularly I think by the 40 years working as a nomad shepherd in the desert, when he spent 40 years in the wealth and opulence and fast track education of Egypt. I'm sure that played a role in it. Yet I want to think a bit about what humility means, because Moses was not particularly, let's say, timid. Humility is not timidity. Humility is not being quiet and shy. Humility is not simply being rather shy and self-conscious and self-effacing. You can be wired to be like that just in the way you're born. Doesn't mean you're humble. For example, here in Exodus 11, verse 8, he went out from Pharaoh in hot anger. Well, all right, God was also angry with Pharaoh, and you could say that, well, this was just a manifestation of God's anger, but I think all the same, he had a hot anger, he had a hot temper. And you start thinking of the other times. Well, he was very wroth, he was very angry at Israel's suggestion that he might have just been appropriating the sacrifices for himself. He was very angry with Eleazar. He, of course, was banned from entering Canaan, because, as the psalm says, he spoke inadvisedly with his lips. Shall we bring you rebels water out of the rock? And he hits the rock, he smites it instead of speaking to it. So, you know, he had a temper. He is described a number of times as getting very angry. And, as I say, not always wisely so. And sometimes, as with Eleazar, on the basis of just misunderstanding a situation. So he was very meek. He was the meekest man. And yet he still had the temperament to fly off the handle. And in fact, he had that temperament so strongly that it ended in him being banned from entering into the Promised Land because he had such a temper tantrum. And yet he was very humble. So I think this gives us some insight. It gives us also, I think, assistance in not judging the characters of others, because it's not for us to judge them, but we should be aware that somebody may come over at times one way, especially somebody who flies off the handle, is just sort of hot-blooded, flies off at this or that or whatever and cusses and this, that and the other. You know, it doesn't necessarily mean they're not overall humble. We may only see the, if you like, the bad side, but fortunately God sees all. He sees absolutely all. And in his overall judgment, this man of hot temper, who was so hot-tempered that he's not allowed to enter into Canaan because he flew off the handle and spoke absolutely wrongly, in his wrath, in his hot temper, in his tantrum, if you like, this man was the humblest man on earth. So God's judgment of people is different to ours. For example, when you read the account of Lot in Genesis, you really don't get a good impression of the guy. that he chose the good life in Sodom rather than the apparently tougher life that Abraham chose away from the civilizations of the day. He enters into Sodom, he gets totally absorbed in Sodom. His wife and most of his kids and so on, grandkids maybe, they get totally absorbed in the life of Sodom. The call is made to leave. He doesn't really want to leave. He argues with the angel. Don't want to go here. Don't want to go there. And then by grace, and we're told that it was just by grace, the Lord being merciful to him, he is pretty well dragged out of Sodom. His wife looks back. She's made a pillar of salt. And the curtain goes down on Lot with the guy living in a cave, drinking himself drunk at least two nights in succession. And I think that would imply he was an alcoholic. And, doing sex with his daughters and getting them pregnant. And the curtain goes down and you think, yeah. It's not a great story of a bloke, quite honestly. Then you come to the New Testament, that righteous man vexed his righteous soul, Peter says. And you get a totally different judgment on him, that he was a very righteous man with a very righteous soul right deep inside him, his core being. Same when you read God's judgment, his overall judgment on some of the kings of Judah, that this man was very good and didn't turn aside to the right or to the left, etc. And yet you read the guy's life and you think, there was this, that and the other when he definitely did. Come to Hebrews 11 in the New Testament, Samson picked out as an example of faith and he's going to be in the kingdom. But you read his life and you think, who is this guy? You know, he really seems way out of control. Now, this is not to justify hot temper or doing what Moses did, hitting the rock instead of speaking to it, speaking badly with his lips, as God himself says in the Psalms he did. Certainly not to justify what Lot did, not to justify any of all this failure, but I'm just saying that God's judgment overall is very different. And we must not judge each other, partly because we cannot judge. We think we can, but we can't, because you don't see everything. All you do is see a bit of behaviour in a person. You think you know someone, and you don't. You really don't know people. You think you do. You like to think you do, but you don't. You just see a bit of behaviour here and there. You don't know what goes on in their heart. And in these cases that we're looking at, like with Moses getting all cranky and all that, it's not a great picture, and if you just focused on those issues, you would think, hey, he was pretty cranky, pretty hot-tempered, I wasn't allowed into the land. But then you read this statement in Numbers, that the man Moses was very meek, the most meekest of all the men on the earth. So I think that humility was in the eyes of God. You know, man comes down very small sometimes, and the key is to remain small and not to let the passage of time and the years sort of let you rise up again. Moses was very meek. We are told that, and we must give due weight to that judgment by God. And yet, as I say, maybe that wasn't particularly apparent, because, as I began by saying, humility is not necessarily the same as timidity. It's not necessarily the same as being quietly spoken. It's not necessarily the same as being shy and retiring and not having much to say, etc. Not necessarily the same thing at all.